Welcome back, choir. It's nice to have you here. Yay. I like having them at my back. Let's pray. Ask God to be the one who speaks to us today. God, Scripture is your word. You make it alive to us through your Holy Spirit, and we pray that you would do that this morning, that the words would jump off of the pages, jump into our souls, jump into our heart, jump into our community, and make us more like Jesus so that we might shine your light everywhere. All this we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, if you are new to our community, you may have seen or heard that we are beginning a campus enhancement project. And we had a groundbreaking celebration this morning, and it was a great celebration. We gathered and prayed for the work that is about to begin. We prayed for safety. We prayed for construction workers. We prayed for the people that will walk across a new sidewalk and the people that will walk into a new entrance. We also gave thanks and celebrated for the journey that God has taken us on these last years to get to this point. It has been a lot of prayer, a lot of discussion, and a lot of hard work on the part of many to get to this point. We also saw the new renditions, the plans up on the alleyway and inside the fellowship hall, and people got to write their names on the fellowship hall walls. And I'm really curious who wrote that they were the goat. So if that's you, I want to know. Thought that was Jesus, but that's okay. No, if you didn't get a chance to see the pictures or to write your name, I hope that you will do so right after this. We are literally about to make room on our physical campus. But making room in our physical space is not the only way that the Lord is calling us to make room. The session and the staff these last months have felt the Lord's leading to make room in another way, to make room in our community, to make room in our hearts, and to make room in our very lives for others, specifically to make room for those who have yet to embrace Jesus, to make room for those who feel far from God, to make room for those who long for a spiritual home, and to make room for those who have been hurt by church or are burnt out on religion, and they need a safe place to heal and to connect with Jesus again. We believe that the Lord is calling us to make room, and the campus is just the start. In fact, I would go so far as to say that if all we do is make room in our campus, but not in our community and in our hearts, for those who want and need to connect with the Lord, then our buildings, even though beautiful, will be an empty gesture. The thought of making room on campus without making room in our hearts reminds me of the 1 Corinthians 13 passage, that famous passage that the Apostle Paul wrote about love. And when he penned these words to the church in Corinth, he was telling them that love was more important even than all the amazing spiritual gifts that they could have. Here's what Paul wrote. He said, "If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I can have faith that moves mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." If we were to consider those verses in light of making room in our hearts and in our community, they might sound something like this. If we build a beautiful entrance space, but do not let people enter our lives, we are only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If we give the gift of a safe walkway across the campus and a lovely outdoor courtyard to enter in, but we do not provide a safe place for people to come as they are into worship, our spaces amount to nothing. If we give and we give in order to create space for people to gather, but we do not share the love of Jesus that gathers people to God and gathers people in genuine and authentic community, then we gain nothing. And so, this year, as we build, we are going to focus on making room together in our life, in our community. And we're going to start this with a sermon series that will happen these next 6 weeks. But even after the sermon series is done, while we build room on our physical campus, we're going to be talking about this theme of making room in our church community, in our lives, and in our hearts for those who are far from Jesus. Now, I want to pause here and address a great question that I heard from someone as we were discerning this. Is the Lord leading us to make room in more than just our campus? And the question was this: are we talking about this because we're really bad at it? Are we not doing this already? Is this like we're being chastised? That's a good and valid question. And let me assure you, I am convinced that the heart of our congregation is to make room for people to come and to know Jesus. In fact, when we were in the fellowship hall this morning, I was in the group that was praying in the fellowship hall. The prayer began by giving thanks for all the ways this congregation has used space to make room for people, like the overflow shelter, or for the Cook Elementary teachers to come, for people new to Jesus to come and have conversations or gather around the dinner table or come and celebrate life and the gift of resurrection at a funeral. We have made room. I know this about us. And yet I also know human nature, mostly from my own faults and foibles. And I know that we need to be reminded time and time again, especially in our culture, which is consumeristic and individualistic. If we are not careful, phrases like "I belong" easily turn inward and they become not "I belong," but "this is mine." Or "I'm at home" becomes "this is my home." Or "let's make room" becomes "this is my room and I'm going to do what I want," right? We need reminders time and time again. But probably even more importantly, God always wants to take us deeper. No matter how much we think we know about making room for others, no matter how much we think we're attuned at looking for others who might be far from Jesus and inviting them in, God always has more to share with us, more ways to teach us, more ways to stretch us. You see, making room is about more than being friendly to people who walk in doors or scooting to the middle, as you all did so well at the beginning of the service, to make room for other people to come and sit. Those things are important, but making room is much deeper. God may be asking us to make room by opening up our friendships. God may ask us to make room by learning from people who have different perspectives than we do. God may ask us to make room by willingly giving up our preferences about how church should sound, look, and operate. And I'm convinced that God will ask us to make room by choosing to reach out to those around us instead of simply waiting for people to enter our doors. God has more to teach us, deeper to take us into making room, and I am eager to learn alongside of you these next weeks as we talk about the ways God is calling us to make room. And we're going to talk in subsequent weeks about how to make room by looking at the ways that Jesus did this. But today we're going to start at the beginning. We're going to start at the starting place, the reason we make room. And the reason we make room is because God has first made room for us. We make room because God has first made room for us. One way we could describe the whole of Scripture is that it's a record of God making room for us, of pursuing us, inviting us, and enabling us to belong to Him, to be at home with Him, and to share in God's very life as Father, Son, and Spirit. We're going to be looking, though, not the whole of Scripture, but at two specific passages of how God made room for us. And we're going to be looking at them based on what that tells us as God's gathered people, the church community, okay? So the first example is from Leviticus chapter 19 in the Old Testament. Now, how often do we get to hang out in Leviticus? Love it. We should do this more often. Maybe, Mike, that should be our next sermon series, Leviticus. Leviticus details the instructions about worship and life together that the Lord gave the Israelites as they settled in the promised land. And we're going to be reading chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. God says this: when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing amongst you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So God's command to his people was to make room for the foreigner, people who were not Israelites. And he first says, don't mistreat them. And we go, okay, do no harm. We get that. But then God takes it a step further and says, treat them as native born. And then, oh, just in case you're wondering what that means, love them as you love yourself. Does that phrase ring any bells? Right? Jesus used these same words, as Mike told us in the call to confession today, when he talked about the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all that you are, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. That comes from Leviticus 19, right? Now, God not only tells them to welcome, to give this radical hospitality, but God gives them in Leviticus the reason why. For you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. God was reminding them of a key way, a key moment in their lives when he made room for them. Really, it was a way that God not only began, but continued to make room for all of us. So as a part of God's plan to invite everybody into relationship with himself, he chose the people, the Israelites, and said that he would bless the world through the Israelites and invite everyone into relationship with him, right? And at one point in their history, the Israelites found themselves as slaves in Egypt, as foreigners in Egypt. And we read in Exodus about how God liberated them in a mighty way. But now that they are in their own land, he says to them, I don't want to forget who you were or what I did. He wants that story of him making room for them to mark them. And the way he asked it to mark them in this particular instance is that they would turn around and reflect him by welcoming the foreigner, by treating them as native born, by loving them as themselves. This radical hospitality, as God has made room, so he asked them to make room for one another. That's the first example. Our second example is from Ephesians in the New Testament. So while God's plan to make room for humanity really began before creation, but it also continued with the Israelites, it did not stop there. Right? God's intention was to invite all people to be with him. And so Jesus came. Jesus was God, the Son, who came in the flesh to live in our place, to die, to defeat sin and evil, and to burst from the grave in victory, creating a way for all of us to be home in relationship with God, both right now and in the life to come. Now, Paul beautifully describes how Jesus made a way for us to be brought near to God through Jesus in this letter to the Ephesians. We're going to be reading chapter 2, verses 11 through 20, which will be on the screens. If you want to read it in your Bible, you can. But as we read, as you listen or read along, listen for the ways in which God has made room for us, but also how that, like in Leviticus, spills over into the ways we make room for one another. This is chapter 2, starting at verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles, remember that at the time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those of you who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Again, this is the word of the Lord. listen again to some of the ways that Paul describes that God has made room for us, that we were brought near by the blood of Christ, that God has reconciled us to himself, that we all have access to the Father by one Spirit, and that we are members of his household. God has made room for us in Jesus Christ. God has made room for you. God has made room for me. God has made a way for us to be at home with him. And God has given his very all to make that happen. But as in the Leviticus passage, this gift of being brought into union with God through Jesus Christ is meant to mark us. It's meant to mark us in every way, but one way it does so is that we, having been welcomed by God, now seek to reflect God's love in Jesus by making room for others. We see this truth being worked out in Ephesians 2 as Paul is talking about the relationship between Gentiles and Jews. So 2,000 years removed from this letter, we don't fully comprehend the magnitude of the division and the difference that existed between Gentiles or non-Jewish people and the Jewish people. When Paul wrote this, many, if not most, of the Jews thought that God was for them, that God was their home, and if you wanted to enter, you needed to be just like them, right? But Paul wrote to say that all of this had changed. It had changed in Jesus, and in Jesus, God was now inviting Gentiles and Jews alike, all people, to come home to God through faith in Jesus. And now, part of what Paul is saying is Gentiles and Jews, you're called to make room for each other despite your multitude of differences. You are to come together in Jesus. Now, this passage in Ephesians 2 is beautiful and rich and deep, and there's much more that we could say about it, but I'm going to stick with just that one point for now. We are called to make room for others because God has first made room for us in Jesus Christ. Again, we'll talk more about how that works in the coming weeks by looking particularly at Jesus' life. But right now, I want to encourage all of us to come back time and time and time again to this starting place. We are called to make room for others because God has first made room for us. And I think this is the proper starting place and the place we need to come back to time and time again for at least two reasons. There's more, but at least these two. And the first goes back to that human tendency I mentioned earlier. The human tendency to bend inward, where God has made a home for me, easily becomes, this is my home, right? But when we're reminded that God has first made room for us, it reminds us that while we might be inviting people into our lives, in our hearts, and in our communities, ultimately it's not about us. We are actually inviting him into the life of God. And that is God's desire, that all would enter in. And so we're reflecting him. We remember that as we come back to that starting place. And the second reason that we need to remember, well, not really even just to remember, but we need to dwell in and experience the truth that we are at home with God, is because making room for others is difficult work. It's difficult work. If we're serious about reflecting God by making room for those who are far from Jesus, for those who feel far from God, for those who long for a spiritual home, for those who need a safe place to heal and connect with the Lord, it's going to take time, it's going to take intentionality, and it will take sacrifice. In some ways, it feels a little bit like the campus enhancement project that we're about to start on. Today, we are excited, right? We're starting something new, we're making room, and we have visions of what it will look like in 12 months. But we got 12 months to get there. And I don't know about you, I can say this about me. Come January, some dreary day in January, when all those campus constraints are up, I'm gonna think in my brain, is this really worth it? Was this really worth it, right? Now, on a much larger scale, making room for others is going to be difficult work. It's going to constrain us. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be uncomfortable, right? It requires time. It requires resources. And we might be tempted to give up. Now, I don't think any of us would say, yeah, it's not worth it. We're going to make room for others, right? But we're going to vote with our actions. We're going to say, you know, that's taken a lot of time to reach out to those neighbors that don't know Jesus, and they're not really interested. So I'm going to focus on me and mine, right? We're going to vote with our actions. We need power outside of ourselves to make room for others. And that's why we need not only to remember that God has made room for us, but we need to make our home right there and let God's power through the Spirit be what gives us the energy and the sustaining power to make room for others over the long haul. So as we talk about making room these next weeks, let's come back time and time again that we first have found a home in God through Jesus Christ. We're going to show a picture in a minute that's going to be our, we can go ahead and show it actually if you want. This is an icon we've shown before at church by Andrei Rublev. Some of you, I'm sure, have seen it. It's from the 15th century, and this is supposed to be a rendition of the Trinity, so Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's painted in such a way that there's one person missing, right? And who is that person supposed to be? It's supposed to be the person looking at the painting, who is drawn in to the life of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we pray just for a minute here while Susan plays, I want you to imagine yourself at that seat and to give the Lord thanks that you have a place in God's life because of Jesus, because of the great love of our God. But as you imagine yourself sitting there, turn around and look at the people in your life that you love and care for who don't yet know that they've been invited. And imagine all four of you, Father, Son, Spirit, and yourself, looking at that person and saying, come. And let's let that reflection be our visual prayer that we want God to make room through us. Let's pray that now. An exciting season that we're about to embark on, God, making room. As we do so, remind us, overwhelm us with the truth that you have invited us into your life as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that you have given your all to make that happen. And as we are overwhelmed by that truth and spend time with you in the home that you've made for us, God, may you empower us. May you impassion us to make room for others. As we do so, God, we know that we don't do this on our own. Your desire to make room for others is greater than ours, and it's a work that you're doing. We're simply joining in. So give us the sustaining power and the wisdom to do so. All this we pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.